the sacramental music of our baptismal waters beautifully sing the truth that we are the beloved children of God who are seeking to turn from our sins, sins now washed away in the waters of God's love, and turning toward God's grace with a commitment to follow Jesus, name Him Lord, and pledge our allegiance to God's kingdom. We, the baptized, are united by the Spirit and called to serve the mission of Christ in the world as part of the family of God to which we belong, members of the body of Christ into which we've been baptized. As we begin Holy Week, where we walk with the baptized Jesus toward His death and resurrection, we are reminded that our baptism symbolizes our own death and rebirth. A rebirth in this life and in the resurrection life to come. The Baptist form of baptism, full immersion in water, is, I think, a vivid and dramatic picture of death and rebirth. Growing up, I heard many ministers say these words of Paul from Romans as they lowered the person into the water, buried with Christ in baptism. And as they brought them up out of the water, said, "Risen to walk in newness of life." Those are the words I heard, and that's what I felt some 48 years ago at the age of 10, when I came up out of the water, something like newness of life. Living into our baptism, among other things, means that something dies and something is born. This Holy Week, we should perhaps ask ourselves the question, what needs to die in me so that new life can come? I think this imagery of dying and being buried with Christ is part of what Jesus had in mind as He talked to His disciples that day in Caesarea Philippi. "Who do you say that I am?" He asked them. And Peter's hand shoots up. "You are the Messiah, the Christ," he answered. And Jesus commends him. Then Jesus begins to talk about what is to come, how He would be arrested and put to death by the powers that be. And Peter says, "No, Lord, this could never happen to you." And Jesus rebukes him, saying, "Put those thoughts of Satan away." The idea of a suffering Messiah did not compute in the Jewish mind. We even struggle with it ourselves. Messiah was to come and end all suffering, not suffer himself, much less die. Knowing this expectation and misunderstanding, Jesus then calls the crowd to gather in with the disciples, and He says to them all, "If anyone wants to come with me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." And then to drive the point home, He added, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and the kingdom's sake will find it." It is a paradox, the mystery of the gospel, that somehow finding comes in losing, and losing helps you find. There is a kind of dying that leads to new life. Sufi mystics talk about dying before you die. It's about letting go of those things in your life that are bringing death to you and to those around you. Letting the things in your life that need to die, die, so that we might more fully live. It's part of what Jesus called denying self. The spiritual journey is really the daily letting go of the false self so that we might connect more deeply with our true self, created in the image of God. The false self is the ego-driven self, full of compulsions, like those the church in its early centuries called the seven deadly sins: pride, sloth, envy, anger, greed, gluttony, lust. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul called these and others the death-dealing works of the flesh. These are the workings of the false self, not the true self God created us to be. In contrast, Paul names the life-giving fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. As we live into our baptism, we put to death harmful habits and dispositions so that other healthy habits and dispositions can grow and our lives can flourish as God intended. But this false self, real self distinction goes even deeper, down into our spiritual identity, who we believe we are. The false self is shaped sometimes by the world around us, and sometimes by harmful choices and bad habits that become addictions we can't seem to shake, behaviors that grip us in their death-dealing power. The false self can be many things. It can be the self imposed on you from people and culture outside, even sometimes the church itself, with expectations of family and society that are just not right for you. The false self can be your idealized self, your perfect self. We might call it the social media self, the one we send out to the world looking for likes and approval. This ideal self, this perfect self, it sits on our mantle like an idol. But the time comes for almost every one of us, often publicly, when the idol of our perfect idealized self tumbles from the mantle and shatters in 1,000 pieces. When this happens, as painful as it is, we should thank God for this shattering. For now we can begin to discover our true self. We can begin to let go of those things that are killing us and begin dealing with our real self, the self God created us to be in God's image. We can begin living as the beloved child of God that we are. At its best and deepest, the Holy Spirit we receive at baptism can help us topple this false god of the idealized self. Next Sunday, we will each have the opportunity together to renew our baptismal vows. What if you took the time during this Holy Week and each day write down something about your life you would like to change? Habits, attitudes, behaviors that are harming you and your relationship with God and others. We all have them. Christ wants to help us bury them so that we might live as Easter people, better able to walk in the newness of our baptismal life. So as we die with Christ in baptism, sometimes there are things within us, things about our life that need to die. And sometimes our dying with Christ experienced in our baptism may lead to our literal physical death. One person whose faithful following of Jesus, whose life and writings cost him his life in Nazi Germany, was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer refused to bow the knee to Hitler's violent nationalism and challenged the church to follow the teachings of Jesus. For doing so, he was arrested and sentenced to death in a mock trial on April the 8th, 1945. The next day, April 9th, near the very end of World War II, Bonhoeffer was hanged to death along with five other prisoners at Flossenbürg concentration camp. His best friend and chief biographer, Eberhard Bethge, writes on April 9th, "On the morning of that day between 5 and 6 o'clock, the prisoners were taken from their cells and the verdicts of the court-martial read out to them. Through the half-open door in one room of the huts, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer, before taking off his prison garb, kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this unusually lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, Bonhoeffer again said a short prayer and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued after a few seconds. In the almost 50 years I worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God." Bonhoeffer taught us that genuine Christian faith seeks to enter into the suffering of others, no matter who they are, expressing itself in acts of love, and that the church must speak for those who cannot speak, and stand with those who suffer. He said that when Jesus Christ calls a person, he calls that person to come and die. Bonhoeffer lived his baptism, a faithful witness to and suffering servant of Jesus Christ, which finally cost him his life. He enacted his belief that faithful discipleship results in suffering for the sake of the world. That was for Bonhoeffer the very real test, the very real cost of discipleship. Bonhoeffer's Lutheran faith was certainly buoyed by the words of that famous 16th century Lutheran hymn he no doubt sang many a time. "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." Such is the testimony of the baptized followers of Jesus, willing to die with Christ their Lord. so that they might be raised in newness of life. Amen.